Are we done with announcements? Because I want to get going. I'm so excited. I haven't spoke to students for so long. I'm like vibrating almost. I'm so excited about it. Because I miss talking to you guys. I really do. I love talking to students. It's part of my job. I'm like, yeah. You're like, oh, I'm touched. Like, shut up. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. And I can't wait because I want to start. In fact, I want to start right now, but we have a video. I want to just get going because I'm really excited about what we're talking about today. We are talking about identity. And I think this is the number one issue in our culture is the question, who am I? And we have examples of people going traveling around the world trying to find themselves, which is really kind of odd, right? Why would you leave to find yourself when you're right here? I don't know. Sorry, that's just silly. You guys know it. No, you guys with me at all? Yeah, okay. So I want to investigate that. We're going to investigate that for 4 weeks. We're going to talk about identity. We're going to talk about what people think of us and see how they view us. We're going to talk about how we view ourselves. And we're going to talk about how God views us. Because I think that's the most important thing. Because that's the one thing that Satan, yes, he's real. That's the one thing that he wants to mess with. He wants to mess with your identity. If he can deceive you into thinking you're someone you're not, he can take you down a path of destruction and despair and depression and all sorts of stuff. If he can deceive you into thinking you're someone you're not. If you're a Christian, if you belong to Jesus, he is your enemy and he is taking a run at you right now. Even during this talk, you're going to have a little bit of a struggle because I'm going to confront that. And I've been praying about this. I am so excited about this. God put this on my heart a long time ago. In fact, we were still doing Alpha when I was thinking identity that we need to do a series on this. So I'm really excited about it. And, so I'm going to stop talking about it so we can do our intro video. So, I like that video for a number of reasons. Because it asks a lot of questions and it identifies a lot of things that we identify ourselves by. So things, a lot of us, especially when you get older, start identifying yourself by what you do. So even, you'll find this even later on in high school, where everyone's starting to separate into jocks and into geeks and into punk and goth and prep and whatever, just keep going, right? There's so many categories. We could just say categories all night. Sorry if I missed your category. Your label, because that's what this is called. This talk is called labels. Sorry if I missed your label. Right? So we really like to define ourselves by what we do. Have you ever really considered the question that if somebody's asking you who you are, what's your first response? Have you thought about this? I am, what? That one blonde kid that wears too much jewelry. There you go. He's the blonde kid that wears too much jewelry. He is wearing quite a bit of jewelry. It's true. Now I noticed. That's how you define yourself. What comes to your mind if someone's to ask you, who are you? Yeah, your name. Somebody said, you'd say, well, I'm so-and-so, right? You identify yourself by your family name, right? Or the name that's been given to you. Well, how else would we define ourselves? Anybody? Huh? Cowgirl. Sorry?
Cowgirl.
Cowgirl, right? So what would that be? What you do or just how you view yourself or that you live out in the country and have cows? Anyone else? How do you identify yourself? Okay, your friends, yeah. Totally. Anybody else got one? Sports, yeah. Who said that? Was it? Seth? I was looking at you, but your lips weren't moving, so I'm like, was that you? Oh, this is crazy. Who said that? Yeah, so most of you guys are kind of identifying yourselves by the things that are in your life, right? I think that's what we do. And I think that the world has no other option. Get this, you guys. If you are not a believer in Jesus, how in the world do you define yourself? How do you figure out who you are? Because here's the thing, if you're a believer. If you believe in Jesus and you follow him, he's given you a new identity. This is vital. This is so important. This is why I opened up by saying if Satan can deceive you in this one area, he gets a foothold into your life. He can cause all sorts of havoc in your life. If he can deceive you about your identity, there's a crisis coming. And that's why we've named this whole series Identity Crisis. So here's the deal. Why do you think it's so important to us how people view us or how we're identified. Anybody got a response to that? Like, why do you think it's so important to us? Or to you?
To be a family image.
Okay. Image, how you want people to perceive you? Okay. Acceptance, yeah, totally. You want people to view you a certain way so that you can attain something, like acceptance. Why else is it important? Those are good. Anybody else? Notoriety. Popularity. Just having someone like you. Isn't that, aren't those reasons? Aren't those why we really chase after some of these identities? So we feel all alone and we want to identify ourselves somehow. Or we have this image of what cool is or popular or whatever else, and you go like, that's how I want people to perceive me. So this is the identity I choose or I like, and I'm gonna make that my people will see me this way. It's crazy because we all know it's not real, right? We all know that we're just faking it. And so it's really difficult when suddenly you're all by yourself and you're thinking about your life and you're going like, I feel like such a fake. So I think Jesus has something to say here. I think that Jesus has something much better for us, and I think we won't have to fake it. In fact, I know we don't have to fake it. And you might be thinking, well, you know what, I grew up in the church and what I'm faking is actually the identity of being a Christian. I'm like, that's okay. That's all right. That's part of it. That's part of what we got to sort through. So here's the last question that I'm going to have, and then we're going to get into the Bible. The last question is, who gets to decide who you really are? Think about it. Seriously, what do you think? Let's kind of push the Bible aside. Let's push the world. Like, what's going on in here? Who gets to decide who you are? Is that a hard question? Do you? I've eliminated all the other options. You're like, how am I supposed to answer that question? Okay. But here's the thing. We didn't cause our own existence. We didn't give ourselves the gifts and abilities. We didn't do anything really to get where we are as far as especially your natural talents and abilities, right? Like, some of you are just good at sports. Like, you're just born good at sports. You were just athletic. Some of you are like computer, like crazy geniuses. Well, you know what? I was born not a computer crazy genius. That's the best way to describe it. Some of you, like, were, like, playing guitar, like, 3 minutes after you were born. It's just like, this newborn, the doctor went to spank, and you grabbed the guitar and started playing, and you're like, whoa, this kid is musical, right? Some of you guys are just like that. You're just naturally a musician. How did that happen? Was that from you? Is that something you did? Yeah, okay, so now we're in a tight spot, right? I just want to get you guys to a place where we can agree together that we don't get to define or decide who we are. Because I think most of you would go like, actually, I think what I need to do is to discover who I am. Would you guys agree with me there? Right? Would you guys resonate more with that than I get to define who I am, or I really want to discover who I am? Come on, feedback. I need some feedback here, because if you're disagreeing with me, we need to go a different direction. And it's okay to disagree. What? Discover? Discover? Is that more? Okay, I see lots of heads nodding. Yeah. Okay, all right. Me too, right? I've realized, I've lived long enough that I still am finding things out about myself I didn't know. So I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Some of them good, some of them not so good. And as I get older, some of them are new. I didn't have them before. Anyway, let's not go there. Okay, so here's where I want to go with this. I think identity is really important. I think all of us at some point, you know, some of you guys are in junior high, maybe haven't thought through this as much, but I know for those of you who are in high school, this has been a thought that started to plague you, because there's so much pressure at school to, like, if you don't do well on this test, it's going to ruin your life. And, you know, It's not that teachers are being mean or anything. I mean, they're trying to show you the importance of schoolwork and education. But often what happens is it gets translated in our hearts as like this unbelievable pressure that if I fail this exam or blow this paper or I do 2 + 2 = 7, I'm done. My future is there's no future for me, right? I think you guys feel this sometimes, that there's a pretty big pressure? No? Okay, good. You guys are just staring at me. I feel the pressure right now. Thank you very much. Thanks. I just came here to get off the pressure off, and look what you just did. I'm sorry. But we need to identify it, right? There's this pressure. There's so much pressure on us to become something, and we don't even know who we are at this point. It's really difficult for a student. Like, I don't envy you guys. I mean, I remember what it was like to be a student. It was tough. But I think you guys got it tougher than I did. There's a lot more stuff. There's a lot more options for you these days. There's a lot more. I mean, the education system has changed. There's a lot of other things that, you know, that kids are into, or more kids are into than when I was growing up and going to high school. But here's the thing I still remember what it felt like. I still remember that pressure. I still remember the angst in my heart going like, I don't know what to do with my life. What? If I flunk this test, I'm going to, what? It's like, are you kidding me? I'm not going into chemistry. I don't know. Right? So it's like, I just felt that pressure. And I know some of you guys are like that. Some of you guys don't. Like, that's fine. You have your life all planned out. You know where you're going. That's great. But I think for most students, it's a lot of pressure. So who gets to decide who you really are? Well, I'm going to just write out. I'm not going to hide anything. I really believe that God gets to decide that. And the reason he gets to decide it is he decided it before you were born. I mean, that's the issue. Is that God didn't just see you and go like, that one's going to be an athlete, zapped him with athletic skills. The Bible says in Psalm 139 that God knit you together in your mother's womb. That the skills, that the natural talents, that the gifts that you have, God wove into you before you were even born. In fact, he had the plan before you were even a twinkle in your daddy's eye. Sorry, that's way offside. But here's the thing. God looks at us differently. There's a verse in the Bible. It's in the book of 1 Samuel. We're not going to go there, but we are going to get into the Bible here right away. In this verse, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, there's a guy, he's a prophet named Samuel. He's like a holy guy. And God tells him that the king, who is the king of Israel at the time, is done. God has rejected him. He doesn't like God. He doesn't obey God. He could care less about God. So God says to Samuel, I want you to go to this guy Jesse's house. He's got sons there. I'm going to choose from amongst his sons who's going to be king. And so Samuel, being an obedient prophet, goes like, sure, I'll go. So he takes off. He goes to this place, and he sees Eliab. And he's like, oh, this guy is kingly material. He's tall, handsome, strong looking. And this is actually what the Bible says. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Guys, this is so important for us. Right now, I think you can take a huge weight off your shoulders knowing that that's how God views you. That God is not looking at your outward appearance and judging you by that like everyone else is. Because God can see the motivations of your heart. He can see that you're trying. He can see that there's hardship. He can see your pain, and he can see your despair. He can see all those things. He also sees your joy, and he also sees all of those things in your life. He's not blind to it. He sees what's inside. In the book of Hebrews, it says we are actually naked before God in his eyes. You can't cover up. Your arms aren't helping, Jeff. Right? It says that we are bare. Like physically, spiritually, everything. You can't hide yourself from God, who you really are. God can see to the very core of your soul that you can't even see. He can see. Isn't that cool? I'm so glad that God doesn't judge me the way the world judges me. Because I make some really stupid mistakes. And you know what? God doesn't identify you or give you an identity from your mistakes either. And we're going to actually learn about that right now. You can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Page 620. We're going to read a story. And it is a story about Jesus and a woman of the city. This is an awesome picture of what we just read in 1 Samuel. God looks at the heart. Man looks at appearance. All right. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Does everybody got it first? Everybody have it? Yeah? Luke chapter 7, it's on page 620. It's right at the bottom of the left-hand column, and it says, Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. Okay, so one of the Pharisees were one of the religious guys, asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there. Now, when it says a certain immoral woman of the city, what it means is a prostitute. This is a woman who in the eyes of that culture was as sinful as it gets. She's the one that God's rejected in the eyes of men, okay? She brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Now, here's one of the things I think is really important. When you're reading a Bible story, I think what's really cool is to place yourself in the story. So I'm gonna get you guys to do something maybe you don't often do. I want you guys to sit down at the table. Okay, the table's set. Simon the Pharisee has asked us all to come to his house. He's crazy to invite this many students. I don't care. He seems to be an all right guy. Jesus is there. Okay, we're all eating, we're having a good time, we're laughing. It's a good, good meal. And this woman shows up. And we know what she's about. But nobody wants to say anything, right? Because, you know, Jesus is he's God. He's a really holy guy. Right? What is this woman going to do? Okay, can you guys get at the table? Can you put yourself into the story? Are we there? Are we at the table? All right. Let's see what happens. She knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Okay, so now she's weeping. This isn't just like sniffle, sniffle. She is weeping. She's weeping and wailing. Like, just think, like when in anguish of her soul, she is crying. There's tears and snot and like, she is like weeping. Okay? Weeping. Now, what has this done to our dinner party? Kind of a damper, right? A little bit of a downer to my dinner party. I'm probably looking at her going like, oh my goodness, what in the world? Does this woman not know where she is? Okay, you guys follow me? Would you guys feel like that? Maybe? You know what? I'm not giving myself a lot of credit. I hope I wouldn't feel like that, but I'm kind of going like, you know what? Probably my default setting is to go like, what is this woman doing here? We're trying to have a dinner party with students, right? All right. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. Now, you need to understand, in those days, they didn't have shoes. Like, it's bad enough if you guys came up and were, like, kissing my feet. I've been in these boots all day. Probably not good, right? Some of you just gagged. You're like, oh, dirty feet. Okay, so in those days, they didn't have pavement roads. They had dust, dirt roads, and they had animals on those dirt roads, and so they were stepping in all sorts of good stuff. Not really good stuff, right? But they were stepping in it. And so their feet were dirty and smelly and gross, right? Including Jesus's. Yeah, he was God, but his feet were dirty, okay? He was walking in the dusty street. So she is, just think about this, with her hair, I mean, you think about what her job is, right? She's not going to pick up any customers with feces and dirt and stuff in her hair, right? And so she is, with her tears, she's crying so much that Jesus's feet has been washed, and she wipes his feet clean with her hair. Now, at this point, I'm sitting at the table going like, wow, this is interesting. I've never seen anybody cry that much. And she just washed that poo off Jesus' feet. That's crazy. This is interesting. All right, here, enter the Pharisee. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, who did he say it to?
Himself.
Right? So it's in his head, right? If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner. He probably said it in that accent as well. Then Jesus answered his what? Thoughts. Are you kidding me? Jesus answered his thoughts. That's nuts, right? Jesus knew exactly what he had just thought. And he answered. Can you imagine going like being the Pharisee going like, was that my inside voice or my outside voice that I asked that question? I'm confused. All right, so he just, and his inside voice is saying Jesus is not a prophet. Well, the only person who would know what you're thinking is a prophet, right? So it's like, now he's got to be really confused. Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon says. Simon's probably expecting something nice, right? He's a very religious guy, does all the things he's supposed to do. Goes to church and does all that kind of stuff. He's, you know, everyone consider him a good person. Go ahead, teacher. Okay, this is starting to get interesting, right? We've sitting at the table going like, I didn't hear Simon say a thing. Jesus just answered his thoughts. That's pretty cool. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people. 50 pieces of silver to one and 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Good deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone lent you $500 and they just said, and you were like, I can't get the money. And they'd be like, don't worry about it. I don't want you to pay me back. That'd be cool, right? Yeah. So he forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Without reading ahead, some of you already have. Who would love him more? The 500 or the 50? The person who was forgiven the bigger debt, right? That's pretty obvious, right? So what does Simon say? What does Simon? Because we all know this. We're all thinking in our heads, right? We're at the meal. What's Simon going to say? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom, I suppose, right? He's kind of like, I think Jesus is getting me into a trap. I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, now think about this. That's like me turning to Gage and saying, Luke, you're over there, right? Messing with you. Gage's brain just exploded. It wasn't that profound. Okay, but so this is interesting. Jesus is talking to Simon, but looking at this woman. And he said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. Okay, that was customary for them to do. But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. And I'm thinking at the table right now, there's a hush, right? We're all like, whoa, Jesus just totally, he just killed that Pharisee. He just smoked him. That Pharisee's going like, what is Jesus going to say next? I tell you, Jesus says, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who forgiven little shows only little. Or so shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Now, if we were at the table at this time of like we know that Jesus forgives sins, right? We know that he was God. We know that he proved that. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. You know, he healed people. But you know, this stuff hadn't happened yet. People didn't know really who he was at the time, and now he's forgiving her sins. So I want you guys to think about some labels here. Think about the labels that we, even when I invited you into the story and how I was talking and how I labeled her, prostitute, You know, she's like, I don't know if she should be here. So she's an invader, right? She's invading our party. She's like a downer. Remember I said downer? She's bringing us all down. Like, she's weeping like crazy. We were just having a good time. It's like, come on, this is a party. What's going on? So we have all of these labels would have been going on in our minds, including like, what is she doing here? She doesn't belong. There's another label. She doesn't belong. Right? So Simon obviously would have had all of these feelings too. So I think most of us would identify with the Pharisee in this story. But some of us, I think, would identify with the sinful woman. The men at the table said among themselves, what do you think they said? Who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What? That is awesome. That's it? Isn't that cool? Did you guys notice in that story how Jesus viewed this woman? Not once did he view her negatively. He only had compassion for her. He only had care for her. And you know the label that he gave her? Forgiven. You're forgiven. That's the label Jesus gave her. Isn't that cool? Like, this is what, even in our society, we would consider this a very sinful person, right? Like, she sells her body for money. That's a tough one. What else did he call her? He said, you're saved. Your faith has saved you. Her new label. Here's what I need you guys to understand. Is that all of the things that the world throws at you, all of the labels that it tries to label you with, it's all lies. Those are not your labels. If Jesus labels this extremely sinful woman as forgiven and saved, what is he labeling you? What does he label me? If you are a follower of Jesus, this is what he does. We've just seen a picture of what Jesus does right there. This is how Jesus views us. Jesus saw that woman's heart. And even though her actions were evil and she was, undeniably, this is a terrible lifestyle. Jesus looked into her heart, had compassion for her, and labeled her forgiven and saved because she was loving much. Like, how far would you be willing to go for Jesus? Like, look what this woman did. She just humiliated herself in front of a bunch of religious people. The last person, or the last type of people that she would want to be around would be like a religious party, right? Religious, like, because the Pharisees were super religious. They were like uber religious. They were like the religious all-stars of the day. And the last people that she would even want to be around would be the Pharisees. And yet she went to a party and humiliated herself in front of them and put like dust and all crap in her hair because she loved Jesus so much. She was so thankful for Jesus that she wiped his dirty feet with her hair and kissed him in probably super expensive perfume. I mean, how much did she have to pay for this expensive perfume? A lot. And it was like from her body, right? That's how she paid for it, getting money. And that's how Jesus labeled her. That's how Jesus labels you. Jesus. Now we're going Simpsons. Jeebus, help us. No, sorry. That's how Jesus views you. I think it's really important for us to understand this. I have a video that we're going to watch. I was afraid that this would be too long, and of course it is. We're already at our small group time. The video is about 3 minutes, but I think it's a really important video for us to watch. Because I think lots of us identify and try to define ourselves by our past mistakes. Okay, so for some, no, we've talked about what we do, we've talked about how other people are labeling us, but I think here's one of the most devastating labels, is that an event in your life, or a number of events, or even a secret event or a public event where other people label you now, has defined you. And you can't escape it. It's all around you. This is a horrific story about this. This girl, this student, made a huge mistake and paid for it for like a long time. It was very difficult for her. I want you guys to watch this clip and think about the labels and think about how you could possibly be part of her story in a positive way, not one of the persons labeling her, but trying to see people the way Jesus sees them, as saved and forgiven. So let's run the clip, and then we'll go to our small groups. So Taylor in the video obviously made a terrible mistake. I mean, most of you guys are going like, oh, I can't imagine having to walk through the school under that kind of label, right? That was a tough one. Here's what you guys need to leave here with. You are not defined by your mistakes. You're not defined by your sin. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a child of God. That's who you are. You're not defined by your sins and mistakes. Satan wants to make you think that that is your identity. It's not. Don't let him get the upper hand there. It's not. Since when does he get to define who you are? Jesus died for those sins. Those sins were paid for with his blood. That's as big of a price as possible. Don't let the enemy deceive you there. Don't let him make you think you're someone you're not. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you follow Jesus, this is who you are. You are forgiven. You are saved. I mean, if you're doubting yourself, think about the story we just went through. Think about this woman's mistakes and sins and how Jesus did not define her by those. He did not say, this is your identity. He gave her a new one. And that was the identity that woman had for the rest of her life. Forgiven, saved. You're not defined by what people say about you, text about you, post about you, tweet about you, whisper about you, whatever other form of media is out there, right? They do not define you. They don't get to define who you are. They don't know who you are. They're judging an outward appearance. They don't know what's in here. For the believer in Christ, your identity is son, daughter, forgiven, saved. I got more, but we gotta go a small group. Too excited, I guess, to talk to you guys. Leave with this one thing. I'll pick one out of the five things I have here. Don't cover your sins. Okay, guys, this is one of the ways that Satan tricks us. He gets us to feel shame and condemnation. And actually, you know what? I've already decided. I'm going to do the second part of this talk in 2 weeks. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. The enemy condemns you. The Bible says that night and day he stands at the throne of God accusing you of every single thing. Accuse, 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 accuse. It's no wonder we feel so, when we make mistakes, right? But the Bible also says that Jesus is interceding for us constantly. That Jesus is the one interceding for us. And guess who God listens to? Jesus, right? He doesn't listen to Satan. He listens to Jesus. God convicts us of sin. And the conviction is always, come to me, I'm offering you freedom and life. Repent from those sins. Because this is where this repentance leads. It leads to freedom and forgiveness and life. And condemnation leads to despair. So if you feel a lot of condemnation, you need to read Romans chapter 8. Because if you're not here in 2 weeks, is when we're going to continue this talk. You need to read Romans chapter 8. That's the deal. If you feel condemned all the time, if you're feeling down and depressed and in despair, read Romans chapter 8. And read it over and over and over. That there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. No condemnation. That if you're dealing with these things, Satan has taken a run at you through condemnation. Jesus is simply convicting you of your sin. He's not making you feel all ashamed and, I have to cover this up so nobody ever knows. No, Jesus wants you to bring it into the light. He wants you to live your life in the light. He doesn't want you to live your life in private. That's our culture standard. The biblical Bible standard, Jesus' standard says, if you want to live, if you want to have life, and have it to the full, you need to live your life in the light so everybody can see. There's nothing hidden. Because the stuff that is hidden is the stuff that's killing us. So don't cover your sins. Let Jesus cover them. That's the key, you guys. If you leave here with one statement in your mind, don't cover your sins, let Jesus cover them. Because Jesus is the one who defines you, not anything else in this world. Let me pray for you guys, and I know that, you know what, I really feel like this small group is really important, and I just blew it, right? We've got 15 minutes. Can we do that small group next week? Okay, so here's what we're going to do for small group. I want you guys to go, and we're going to save that for next week, because I'm sorry, I just think we need to go through that stuff. So in the small group for next week, it's actually the talk that we're actually going to listen to a video next week. It's totally right down this pipe, and we're going to talk about the label stuff in small group next week. I want you guys to think about this, how you think about yourself and how others view you. Because seriously, most of us act out of that identity, the way other people view us and the way we view us. And we kind of develop our behaviors and the way we act because of those outside influences. But the Bible gives us a different picture. And so that's what the small group is meant to help you with next week. Leaders, is that okay? You want to do that? Yeah, we could do that. Because I think the first half of the question is going to take half an hour. Those first four questions. Good idea. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Then we don't... Okay. Let's do that. Okay, everybody on the same page? Let's do question five to the end. It's only like four questions. And we'll save the next four questions for next week. All right. Let me pray for you guys before you go. Heavenly Father, thank you for these students. Thank you, Lord, that you do not define us by our former life, by our mistakes, by our gifts or talents or lack thereof, or how we view ourselves or how others view us. Those aren't labels that you give us. That's not how you see us. Thank you that you see us differently than everyone else. Lord, it actually is it's a huge relief to know that you see it all and you still choose to love us. It just blows my mind. You see all the bad stuff in my heart. The darkness, the dirt, the filth in my heart, the sin. And yet, you still love me. It's so hard to understand. It's so hard to accept. But I thank you so much that you do. Lord, I pray that truth would just penetrate every soul here today. That you would just drive that home. That your love is so deep and so big that none of us can escape it. And that all of these labels that have been plaguing us up to this point, free us from those things, Lord. Deliver us. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would deliver each student and leader, everyone here. Deliver us from those labels and give us your new labels. Help us to understand them. Forgiven, saved, son, daughter. Not just any son or daughter, but a son or daughter of the King. Lord, we just ask you just bury that into our hearts. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, small group 10.